and welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, March 25th, 2017. It's Season 11, Episode 11. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228, 334-272-9228. You can check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook at InGameChat. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Head over to Twitch.tv. Search for InGameChat in the little bar there. And you'll be able to watch us live while we broadcast. You can also just go to InGameChat.net and then go over to the left side of the screen. And like I said, there's a ton of links where you can find us online. What are you doing?
Pointing at my name.
Oh, okay. I get you a name tag.
I kind of have one right here.
Well, yeah, but...
All right.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
I didn't get much sleep.
This is the kind of quality you're going to get for the next 2 hours. We are streaming on Twitch. You can watch us there as well as joining the chat room live while we broadcast. So, welcome to the show. And I was totally going to go somewhere. Now I don't know where I'm going with it.
So, I think it's derailed RJ, too. He has that look.
No, I'm used to this.
It's like, oh, jeez, man.
Yeah, he's used to this.
I'm pretty used to this already. Yeah. But you messed Scott up.
Yeah, see? Yeah, I have to do that. Did the show come out this week or is that next week?
That's this Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah, this coming week. All right.
Along with the DLC for Dark Souls.
Along with the update for Destiny.
Oof. See, still the first quarter of this year, and we still getting games pumping out left and right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Still got Horizon to work on. Still got Zelda in the back pocket.
You just started on that, didn't you?
I haven't even started Zelda.
No, I mean Horizon.
Horizon? Yeah, yeah. I am moving like molasses through that game.
Mm-hmm.
Just every little bit, just kind of moving my way through it, just really slowly. And I'll talk about that coming up and talk about what else is going on.
As long as you're enjoying it.
I am enjoying it. It is a beautiful game. I did not pick up Mass Effect 3, which came out Tuesday.
Andromeda?
Mass Effect Andromeda. Yeah. I didn't pick that up when it came out Tuesday. I haven't necessarily heard... Well, okay. I've heard a lot of bad things.
I've seen a lot of crazy...
Just mainly about the animations.
And the faces and the... Yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's it. I haven't heard critique on the game itself as far as being worth picking up or anything.
From what I heard, they didn't mess up on the battle portion of the game.
The combat?
Yeah.
It's still really good?
Yeah. They said, from what I hear, they didn't mess up on that part.
Yay.
I have no idea.
Like, you know, Abomination, you know, a horrid human, experiment, but... At least you could shoot well.
Mm. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'll pick that up. I don't know when I will. I don't know if they're going to get updates for that thing. I don't know if they're going to try and fix things. I don't know if they're going to put out a remastered edition within the same console lifetime and fix everything. I have no idea.
And we know they're aware of it.
So
I think that's all we got. We know that they're aware of the problem. They just haven't offered a solution yet.
Lethal Migraine is, of course, crapping all over the show. And not this show, the show, MLB The Show, which is, the game Sony puts out every year for baseball.
I like Lethal Migraine. I mean, he's
I have no problem with him.
He cracks me up.
I'm just saying, great. If you know Lethal Migraine, he's doing exactly what Lethal Migraine does.
And that's what I love about him.
But the reason I brought that up was because I was going through looking for music for this week, and I like to try and pick games that came out this week. And so,
what would it be like, Take Me Out to the Ball Game?
It's probably got some kind of music in there, you know.
I guess.
But I was going to look for some music for that. Found Mass Effect stuff, which we've got Mass Effect coming up in this segment, or not this segment, but in this episode, we have some music for Mass Effect to play. But I couldn't find anything for MLB The Show, and that's because it's not out yet, and it will be next week, and so I'll probably have something from there if there is anything that isn't like a licensed song.
Exactly.
Like all of it.
Well, that's what I figure. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't played the show. I never have. I just like to pull. I just like to pull music from games that get released recently, and that's one that's going to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
I have to think that it has some kind of generic,
the main menu music,
brand theme. You know exactly something there that I can pull from, and use it just to get some good representation.
Well, typically, like I said, it's going to be about 30 seconds of the main menu theme, and then the rest of it is licensed all the way.
Yeah, that's what I figure.
Mm-hmm.
So. But that's next week. This week was Mass Effect Andromeda. If you happen to play it and you have any opinion on it, we would love to hear from you because none of us here played that. None of us have an opinion on it. 334-272-9228 if you want to call in. I know Medusa's Mirror has played it.
Yeah.
And so
she said she hadn't had English, man. No problems yet with animation.
The problems with your mouth movements today,
yeah,
apparently.
Man.
The animation of your mouth is not having a...
rendering, right?
Yeah, really. But no, if you've got opinions about that, that, you know, from having played it, we would love to hear from you.
As opposed to our opinion of just, like, not caring.
Well, I've read about the... In fact, going into the animations, which, I mean, that's been a huge thing about what's been wrong with it, all the glitches that they've seen in animations for character movement and character speaking and stuff like that. I was reading up about one of the animators who worked on Mass Effect 1 and 2... as an animator. He now works at Naughty Dog as an animator.
All right.
And he talked about how they did that whole thing. He said that actually this came from a roundtable discussion of animators who were talking about specifically the problems with Mass Effect, and said he thinks that a lot of people who think of game animators who are taking most of the flack for the problems, they think there's somebody sitting in front of, you know, a screen and manipulating everything by hand and that sort of thing, and that's not the case. Game animators, they put the animations in there, and then they all go into like a big pot. This is going to be as layman can be as far as trying to describe this, but
right.
All the different animations go into a giant pot, and then the coders, the designers, write code that says, you know, in comparison to something like Uncharted or Horizon Zero Dawn,
right.
The whole game is on rails to have you go down a certain path. So the emotions you get from characters, the words you get from characters, they're all preset and predetermined and everything like that. So it's all going to be set the way that the designers wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
RPGs are a little different. Because you have choices that you have to make and decisions that you have to make. Characters could be delivering a line excitedly because of some path that you've gone down, or characters could be delivering that same line in a very less excited way, I suppose. Maybe,
I'd say deadpan.
Well, you know, something that's maybe in a negative sense rather than being in a positive sense. It all depends. And so the way the coding works on this is, depending on other factors that have come along, it has to grab this enthusiastic line from the voice actor to use here. Then it has to add this facial animation for the way it is being delivered. So all of this stuff has to be coded in as to how it's going to do. And how it's going to play out for the player. And the guy from Naughty Dog said that it is very likely they had a whole bunch of different things plugged into their emotion department, I guess, if you want to put it that way, of how body language reacts, you know, and how facial animation works when delivering lines, that they were going to go back to and one by one put more detail into and how the facial animation was going to react and how all this stuff was going to work. He doesn't know for certain, but he believes that BioWare did not give themselves enough time to make this happen. Their timetable got a lot shorter than what they were planning on, and they didn't have time to put the finishing touches on the look of those animations. And that's kind of what he thinks has happened with that. But he doesn't, I mean, he doesn't know. He's not an animator. BioWare is not speaking out on the subject. All we have to go on are other people who are animators who have worked on games and say, well, this is how we do it. This is probably how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Gage has Andromeda and was going to talk to us about it.
Gage. Hey, you're on in-game chat. Gage?
Hey.
Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Montgomery.
Okay.
That's cool.
I just, you know, we got people who listen not in the area, so if we happen to get somebody from out of town, we'd like to know where they're calling from. So, thanks for calling in. You have Mass Effect Andromeda. What system are you playing on?
I'm playing on the Xbox. On the One.
Okay, cool.
So, I just got it about 2 days ago.
Not for so, not.
Yeah, I haven't played very much.
Yeah, just to go into a little bit more details, at Xbox One S.
No, it's just the normal Xbox One. I haven't had the money to get an S yet.
Just curious. Just curious.
Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead. How far into it are you? How many hours?
Only about 3 or 4 hours into it. I haven't had that much time to play it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, the game itself is amazing. The visuals have been amazing and everything like that. I don't really want to talk about anything to spoil anything.
No, we don't want any spoilers either.
Yeah.
Just curious, you know, how you like it. You know, the animations, are you seeing everything else that everybody else is posting about? Have you seen those things? And are you enjoying it?
I've seen the things that people have, like, griped about on YouTube channels and on forums and stuff like that. From what I've seen, there are moments where you can look at the characters and just see that the animation just, like, emotionless.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like looking at kind of like a robot.
Yeah.
Like, instead of actually, like, they didn't finish the animation enough, and you just kind of lose touch with the character whenever you're trying to talk to them.
Right. So it's and
that's a huge problem.
One of the things that was mentioned was where because they didn't have enough time to go back and fine tune a lot of these things, the algorithm that they've got set for some of the conversations. It just goes and see, one of the other things that they didn't have time to go back and do was the animators put in lip movements. They didn't know what words were going to be spoken, but they put in typical, you know, I guess there's a set of lip movements that you use when a character speaks to sort of improvise that, you know, words are coming out of the mouth and try and get them as right as they can.
Yeah.
And what they wanted to do was go back with the time that they had
and fine tune it
so that it would match the dialogue that would be coming out. So if it grabs this set of dialogue with this kind of reaction, the mouth would move in such a way that it would sound or look like those words are actually being spoke by that character. They didn't have time to go back and do that. So
yeah.
Also, they didn't have to go back. They didn't have time to go back and really refine the algorithm that they're using. The animator from Naughty Dog seems to think that they're using the algorithm that they're using for grabbing these emotions and grabbing these different responses is on a much lower tier than is normally used for games like this. And so instead of grabbing facial animation for eyebrows and emotion, all it grabs are lip movements, plugs them in there. And so the face doesn't move at all. The lips are just going whatever. It's, yeah.
See, this actually makes me want to play it.
Do what?
You lose your facial, like, expressions. The character can go from being very happy about something and all of a sudden it looks like you killed their cat or something like
that. Right, yeah.
So,
or they're just completely, they look soulless.
Yep, exactly what happens. And then there are points where they're in the middle of a walking scene and cutscene. This is the worst part because it's cutscene. I've had things where, like, I take videos and stuff like that and there's cutscene and all of a sudden the character I was talking to teleports past me and is 50 feet down the hallway.
Yeah, that I have no idea what that's about.
That's cool.
That keeps happening.
Yeah, this was mainly the conversation these guys were having was about how the animations are during the conversations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And how just, you know, kind of, like you said, robotic of the way the faces
look.
For me,
if these bugs aren't crashing the system, that would, I almost want to do it just because it seems like it'd add that zany bit of personality of, like, that's just strange. You know, all of a sudden, like, people pop in, pop out, just their faces are just, like, emotionless. I mean, that kind of makes me want to play it now.
Well,
you know, because if it's not a game crashing bug, it's just, like, a weird animation bug, then, you know, I'm like, all right, that might be kind of fun just to see how bad it can get.
Well, if they really worked on it, they could have easily incorporated it into the Andromeda's theme, because there's a lot of, without spoiling anything, they went through kind of hardships with the Andromeda program, and they could have easily just been like, oh, these people are depressed, or oh, these people are dealing with all this, so that's why they don't show very much emotion. But instead, it's like the really emotional scenes that mess up. The normal ones, completely and totally fine. But if it's something that takes a lot of, like, emotion or something, and then they're just emotionally dead.
But
they're just dead inside.
So let's take the animation aside, though, from that. And you're now RJ had mentioned that he had heard that they got the combat right. Is the combat?
Oh, yes.
Combat's great.
The combat's amazing. They added the jetpack, which I'm sure you've already heard about that. It's pretty much a jump. with that being added, you can traverse a lot easier. You can, like, dash and stuff like that now.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes getting around a cover easier, but the problem is that also means they could add in a little bit less health and stuff like that, so you take damage a lot quicker. So you got to keep that in mind. You have to actually keep moving, or if you get flanked, you're going to die really quickly.
Yeah. And how's the story?
The story so far has been really good. I have a few complaints, but I can't really air them because spoilers.
So. Yeah, no, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Did you go for your main character? Did you stick with the female, or did you go with, because I see the female highlighted all the time in most of the gameplay videos.
I guess it's not Shepard, right?
Oh no, it's not
a
Shepard.
A lot of people go with the female.
What's the name? What's their names? They're brother and sister, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the Ryder twins.
Ryder,
and
that's
the
what it
standard
is.
Name
Evie
is Scott and Evie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Is Evie the name?
Yeah.
Evie's the female name, and Scott. No, it's. Oh, what is it? I think it's Sarah. But they randomly generate, like, the names sometimes.
I was going to say, Evie's the name of the twin in the Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten. Okay. I've gotten a couple other names whenever I was trying to start up. But Scott and Sarah seem to be what people are calling them, their basic names. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Mine's Evie. Like, my female twin is Evie because that's whatever came up whenever I started the game.
Huh.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, Gage, we appreciate you calling in and give us your opinion on Mass Effect Andromeda. So thank you so much, man.
No problem.
Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Anybody else wants to chime in on this, they are more than welcome to. 334-272-9228 is the number. Like I said, none of us have played it, but I was curious as to how it was being received. Reviews really weren't mediocre. They were less than what normally comes from a Mass Effect title, but still not in a realm of, holy crap, this is bad, you should stay away from it type of situation.
I'm wondering if it's, I'm just still kind of burnt out from 3. You know, if that's why I'm just not.
I was on board the train for a while there for this thing.
Yeah.
But the more I kept seeing of it, and the closer it got to release, the more I was like, I just don't know.
Yeah.
For some reason,
it's just not capturing me. Like when the Mass Effect trilogy was coming out, like, you know, that really grabbed a hold of me. Even like when 2, I was like, oh, I gotta get 2. And 3 came out, oh, I gotta pick up 3. Now I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What are you excited for then?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
The next elusive target, Hitman.
Yeah, I mean, what's coming up next that you're excited for?
I had to, you know, honestly, I don't. I know there's stuff.
I mean,
for me,
I mean, just in the next few days, obviously, I'm both excited and you know, a little bit nervous about the fact that Destiny's getting this update and what it's going to do to me and mean for me, and my free time. So
none of it.
There's that on Tuesday, but I don't know. Let me think. You know, I guess there's really, for me, I guess there's nothing else. I have Zelda to look forward to on Switch because I haven't started playing that. I bought a Wii U, by the way. Not really a console worth bringing in and being like, hey, let's unbox a Wii U. It's been out for years. Yeah. Not like we did the Switch.
Excuse me.
No problem. And so I've got a Wii U. It finally came in yesterday. I bought this online from a seller on Gaff. And really, I just want to hack the crap out of it, really. Just mod it, and that's which is what I'm planning on doing, which is why I got it to begin with.
Medusa's Mirror's on.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk to her, and then we'll go to a commercial break. But hey, Sarah.
Hello.
All right, so you are also playing Mass Effect Andromeda, and you are doing so on an Xbox One S or just Xbox One?
Just an Xbox One.
Okay. Cool. I don't know why that matters. It doesn't, actually.
Okay. There's no performance
no graphical
upgrade?
Upgrade or anything
like that? I really don't know. Maybe there's something that
load times
does something better with 4K or something. I have no idea.
Okay.
But
less glitches.
I don't think it matters. Mm-hmm. How are you enjoying the game?
I'm enjoying it a lot.
Did you listen to Gage and his thoughts on his issues with the animation that he's seen?
Yeah, a little bit. So I haven't had any of the like teleporting issues that he was talking about. I do think some of the conversations, the people you're talking to, look a little bit flat.
Yeah.
But I haven't had super big problems. I don't know if some of that I stuck with a default face for both the writer siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that makes things a little bit easier. But
it seems like, you know, if the animators or whoever were the code, the, I don't know, the developers, we'll put it that way. It seems like if the developers were finding out that they were running short on time to put final, to put finishing touches and stuff, I feel like the default character faces are probably the ones that got the most work work done to them, mainly because they had to have them for other presentations, public presentations. They had to have it done so they could send it out to, gaming sites so they could put up previews and things like that, and some video that they could do with walkthroughs and stuff. So I feel like those two default faces probably got a lot of the attention as far as the look is concerned.
Yeah,
there are, I think, 7 default faces per gender.
Mm-hmm.
So I just picked one of those. So I haven't had any issues there. Yeah, I've been enjoying it. I'm about 6 hours in. Of course, that doesn't mean anything in terms of story progression because it depends on how long you've been wandering around.
Right, yeah.
So
it's like when you have an open world game, people are like, oh, what, you know, what level are you on? I'm not really on a level. I'm just doing things.
How many hours you've been playing Sniper Elite 4? Oh, 45. What level are you on?
2?
6. Yeah, you know. exactly, because it takes me forever to play a level in Sniper Elite. So I understand exactly that time on this doesn't necessarily mean anything, but the more time you spend on it, the more, I mean, if you're putting the hours into it, then it's obviously holding your attention.
No, I'm enjoying it a lot. The story is pretty interesting. So I think Matt's objections that he's, you know, tired of that world are silly because it's a completely different situation. But, you know, whatever.
Okay, coming from the woman who will not watch episode 3.
Because
wait, what? Wait, what are we talking about now?
He's getting on to my opinion, but, you know.
No.
Someone who will not watch episode 3. And she wants to question my opinion.
You won't watch it, or she
no,
won't
she
watch
won't.
It?
No, she won't.
I will not watch Star Wars Episode 3.
I don't really blame her on that, man.
Whatever, I do.
Thank you.
I don't blame you on that. And not after the original trilogy, I say, 4, 5, and 6.
It's all one saga, man.
4, 5, 6, 7, also Rogue One, which I finally saw. You're fine. And then Rebels.
Yeah,
Rebels is amazing.
Yeah, get some Rebels in there, and you're good.
But no, anyways, you're wrong.
I'm on her side. Sorry.
Both of y'all.
Those first three
I think
horrible.
People are going to agree with me more than you.
It's all a part of the saga. I don't care about principle.
Not necessarily, though.
It is.
No, not really.
It is all a saga, except for Rogue One.
I mean, we could. You know what? Next week is April. We have a show on April Fool's Day.
Oh, yeah?
So we could come in to talk about gaming. We could do it to talk about movies the entire time.
I will spend 2 hours.
Yeah,
talking
no,
about.
I understand you will, and I'll be there
laughing.
Not laughing. No, I'll find the cons of the first three, and you can find the pros, and we'll see what we can do about it.
I mean, she's already
you got your work cut out for you. Though,
she's already watched the worst two of the three.
Right, now I'll agree.
So might as well watch the best of the three.
I agree. Episode 3, yes. STN Fuller says in the chat room, episode 3 is the best of those three, but the bar is pretty low.
You know.
And that ending, by the way.
I like the ending.
No.
Okay,
horror.
That was dad.
Yeah.
That was
dad.
But, you know.
That was bad.
Yeah, that was bad. But, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Back to Mass Effect. I'm so sorry that we derailed it. But you know us. This is what we do.
Yeah.
So anyway, you're enjoying the game. You've put in a lot of hours into it. You haven't seen the animations, I guess, or at least you've seen...
haven't seen any of the, like, atrocious ones.
Right. You haven't seen the crab walking and all the other stuff, but you have seen the soulless emotion.
I wouldn't go that far on the ones that I've encountered. They're just a little bit flat. Mm-hmm. So it's not like creepy, this is a soulless doll talking to me. It's just a little like, did you have too much Botox? I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
so. But I also haven't talked to that many of the humans, and, I mean, who can tell whether a Turian's facial animations are messed up or not?
I'm sure there's someone out there.
Probably.
So.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're sticking with it, and I'm glad you're enjoying it. That's really all that matters is, like, are you enjoying the game that you're playing? Yes, I am.
That's
even with
counts.
The setbacks, yeah, it's still good. Then great. That's right. I don't know, you know, you're a big fan of the whole series, though, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. I can't. I'm trying to think of how you could put that to say, hey, this is a game you should pick up if you're a fan of the series. Well, if you're a fan of the series, you're probably already either very close to picking this up or already have it yourself. For someone who's never played the series, though, is this a good place to jump in?
Yeah, it's a very good place to jump in. You really don't need to know much about the original trilogy. So the basic setup is that the Ark ships left in between Mass Effect 2 and 3, and they've been in transit for 600 years. So everything that happened back in the old galaxy is, you know, that's just vague background you can pick up through codex entries. It's really not relevant.
Oh, all right. Well, we appreciate you calling in. We got to get you back down on the show sometime. So.
Yeah, definitely.
What are you doing for April Fool's Day?
I don't think I'm doing anything.
We could have a nice little debate between you and Matt on those episodes. Feel free to come down anytime if you want to. If you want to make it next weekend, that's fine. We'd love to have you on.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what we've been playing. That way, we won't be talking about Mass Effect Andromeda, because none of us have played that. When we come back, though, we'll talk about the games that we played. Obviously, we've got brand new music for everything, for going to commercials and coming out of commercials. We do this just letting everybody know. We're not using the same music over and over again. So this week, kicking us off is Enter the Gungeon. Has anybody played that?
No.
Has anybody heard of it?
I have.
Yeah,
okay.
I've heard of it, yeah.
It seems like it's be something you'd be interested in there.
Yeah.
RJ. Mm. Nice little twin. I think it's a twin sticker.
I think it is.
Actually, no. It's movement on one stick and you...
Like
Robotron. Yeah. Exactly. I think. I haven't actually...
Or Smash TV.
That's a good
one. Yeah.
Total Carnage, yeah.
Yeah.
So I... Geometry Wars.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
In the same way as well.
Just name random games that have
that's
that
good stuff. Anyway, this is music from Enter the Gungeon. It is called Abbey Bells, and we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chats right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chats. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Matt. Our phone number is 334-272-9228. If you want to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 334-272-9228. You're wondering what this music is.
I am.
Do you have any idea?
I'm trying to think of what this would go with. Like, what kind of game? And for some reason, I was just thinking, like, World War II Silent Hunter kind of a...
Lethal Migraine says it's from Excitebike.
that would be the best level.
Usually the first title we get is Mega Man.
Yeah, Mega Man.
Yeah, no. This is from Darksiders.
Darksiders, okay.
Yes. The one that had... that had Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
In it, as the voice of your little sidekick guy. It's very Zelda-esque type of game, you know, where you go into a realm and there's a place that you can't quite get to, but then later on you'll get a, you know, an item that you need to get to that area type situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was also one of those games that pulls one of the cardinal sins I hate of games that do this is the, we're going to let you play the game for about 10 minutes fully powered with everything.
Then take away.
And then we're going to take everything away from you. I hate that. I can't stand it.
That was the problem I had with like the Jedi Knight series.
Really? They did that too? That's horrible.
Once you first got, not Dark Forces, but like in Jedi Knight, after you get your Jedi powers and everything, then they had the problem of like, all right, we want to do a sequel for it, Jedi Outcast. What do we do? Because Kyle Katarn's already fully powered, you know, Jedi Knight. So let's have him renounce everything. So he does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's that kind of mentality of like, you know, when you see it more in sequels of like, all right, you have this super-powered guy that you've known from the previous game.
Yeah.
How do we make it challenging? You know, like why in Batman you have to keep on collecting, you know, your power-ups, you know, for the different Arkham games.
They didn't start you off powerful in Arkham, the Arkham games. They didn't start you off with all your abilities and then take them away. You just had to go through the game and collect them, and as you got more, that was...
Metroid Prime did that, didn't they?
I think it did, yes.
And
Metroid Prime started the one on the Wii, Metroid Prime, or was it GameCube? GameCube,
yeah.
Yeah, Metroid Prime did start you off pretty much fully powered.
Then you got hit by the whatever.
Yeah, and then stripped away everything, and you had to go back and collect
it. That is rather annoying.
I mean, I get what they're doing, but I just don't like that. I'm learning how to play your game right at the beginning, and you're giving me all of these great abilities. Not me thinking that, oh, this is going to be a nice little little fun, you know, walk in the park type situation. I figured, you probably get some enemies. Just build your enemies that can make me use those powers and the abilities. But no, they strip all that stuff away and give you that taste of, you know, something that you won't get again until the last, like, 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And the whole previous, you know... 90% of the game, you're like, I can't wait to get that power. Can't wait to get that power.
Right.
And you're just wanting it. And then,
I think the last time I went through something like that was Chaos Legion. It was a while back on PS2, I think. Capcom made this title. But yeah, you started out with all these glyphs that gave you powers and abilities. And then somewhere in the intro, something breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to go through the entire game to build it back up again. But yeah, it gives you a taste of what you could be. Now go work for it.
Yeah, and you're never that way again until like the last boss of the game, basically.
Or if you miss something, you might not be as powerful as you used to be at the very beginning.
Which is why I use a game genie and I can stay powerful through the whole thing.
The PlayStation game with the Cole McGrath. What was that one?
Cole McGrath, Infamous?
Infamous,
yeah.
Infamous 2. They started, you know, when you started off in the beginning, you know, you were fighting the big bad guy.
Yeah, you were fully powered. Fully powered.
Then when you got to the new place, you had to repower.
Yeah. Which goes to show you, because I didn't play near enough of Infamous 2.
Okay.
Like Infamous 1, I played through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Infamous 2, I did not go through and play much, hardly at all of that. Yeah, so that was called War's Theme, I believe is what that was, from Darksiders.
Okay. Was that the one about the Four Horsemen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's Darksiders 2, which I haven't played much of. I own it.
Are they going to do 3 and 4?
I haven't heard anything, and I mean, I've heard...
It's probably just like...
I've absolutely heard nothing about some... Well, it was a THQ-owned property.
Yeah.
And we know what happened to THQ. So I don't know if anybody picked up that property...
Or not.
I don't know who got it in the split. Somebody did, but I don't necessarily
know. Got it in the divorce.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody got it, but I don't know if they did anything with it or had any plans to do anything with it. So, yeah. Anyway, games that we've been playing, let's see. I'll start since I don't have many. Horizon Zero Dawn. I've been playing that. That's it. I finally went through the, it's not the purging. What is it called? I don't know, some tribal thing you have to go through. The proving. That's what it was called. I went through the proving, which honestly, this part of the game you would have done probably within the first 10 minutes of playing if you were playing like a normal person and not like me.
If you weren't scouting your way through the game.
Which was, yeah, if you weren't scouting your way through the game and taking your time at every little thing, you'd have gotten there fast because it really plays as an intro. Because now the game is set up for me. Now the wilderness is open up to me. Now I have the ability to tame some of the animals and actually use them as I can mount, you know, and ride them through through the big open area. I've came upon my first, it's not long neck because that's beer, tall neck is what they call them. And that's the real, those are the moving Far Cry towers.
Gotcha.
Those are the moving Assassin's Creed viewpoints.
Yeah.
So I finally got to one of those guys, climbed up the top of him, stuck the stick in his head, and then it opened up a massive amount, way more of the map than I thought it was going to open up, but a huge amount of the map opened up to me. And now I'm, you know, walking through and questing and just leveling up and, you know, following the story path. So has it gotten any better? Somewhat. Well, because everything is more open to me now, it feels more like I am actually kind of out on my own rather than seeing the same animals come up and nothing new. Now new things pop up all the time.
Okay.
It's getting a little bit more action-y for me rather than fetch questy tutorial, basically, yeah, is what I was going through. I was going through tutorial there up until the proving, and then once the proving's done, the game really opens up for you, and that's what it's doing for me. And I'm really not much further than that, other than opening up the first tall neck, you know, finding that one. I don't know how many of them are in there, but it actually appears as a quest.
Okay.
So you just highlight that and then go do them, and then it opens up the map even larger. And like I said, I haven't gotten much further than that, and I haven't played hardly anything else. I've been this morning and last night I was looking into you know, all the things that I can do with my Wii U that Nintendo doesn't want you to do with the Wii U, but Nintendo doesn't care.
Yeah.
Some people don't get excited for a new Nintendo release, but I'm starting to get excited for new Nintendo releases now
because
for consoles.
Now you can play the old...
Because now it's like, oh, what can we do with this one? You know, once Nintendo drops support. When they drop support of something, boy, they drop support of something. They don't pull it offline. They just stop. It doesn't exist for them anymore.
Yeah. I've been looking around town for Wii U's, like in stores.
Hard to find? I haven't looked.
Impossible to find. They don't care
really
anymore. Finding a new Wii U... I don't think they're out there anymore.
Wow.
I've been to Walmart, Toys R Us, Best Buy, Target, BX. I mean, everywhere I go looking for a brand new one.
Yeah.
Not there anymore. They're like, no, we don't carry them anymore. I'm like, oh.
Wow.
So.
Lethal Migraine says, looks like THQ Nordic still has Darksiders. I don't think they're doing anything with it.
No. I don't think they're doing anything with it.
They're doing much of anything at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where I am with Horizon Zero Dawn, and like I said, I haven't played anything else. Destiny's update comes out on Tuesday. I can tell you right now, I'm going to take a peek inside of that. I'm going to check out the record book. I'm going to see what needs to be done in order to do a completion on that thing. And depending on how much is left, I will probably put in the time and effort to get it done. I really don't know. There was a leaked Destiny 2 poster from earlier this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Bland is all get out, man. Just completely boring, bland poster. I mean, nothing is conveyed in that other than Destiny with a big 2 behind it. That was it. And which part of me was sitting around thinking, ah, it's fake. But no, it was confirmed that was real. It was from an Italian GameStop, I think. Yeah, GameStop Italy is where it leaked from.
Huh.
It indicated that PS4 will get beta access before other platforms. The beta apparently is set for June. E3 happens to be in June, so we're probably going to get a lot of talk at Sony's E3 press conference about Destiny 2. Apparently, there was supposed to be some kind of reveal last week, but that was unconfirmed. So in the next few weeks or so, we should be hearing something about Destiny 2. It looks like it's got a September 8th release on it.
That poster you mentioned, is that the one with three guys on the front and this?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, I mean, look at it, bland. It's good. There's nothing. It's like it was rushed. It looks fake, doesn't it? It looks like a sloppy fake that somebody just slapped together and said, here, this is, look what I found. And that it's not real at all, but it's totally real. I don't know. We'll see. It's just promotional material that they send out to game stores and stuff. Apparently, somebody in Germany has already reserved their PC copy at one of the game stores. There will be a PC copy. I think I'm going to stick with my console.
Because if there's any crossover...
Well, I was reading something
like
about...
Like save file crossovers?
No. There's not going to be any save file crossovers. Okay. Because you're
already used to the control screen.
It's not even just that. It's more the community than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
When I go and look at the Tom Clancy Division,
yes,
and Rainbow Six Siege, Titanfall 2, even Battlefront. If you look at the PC communities, those things die out fast,
mm-hmm.
and they don't stick around. When you go to the console communities,
they're still going.
It's all thriving. It's always thriving. You can always hop on and find people who are playing the games. And that's why I think I'm going to stick with PS4 on this. I imagine that the PS3 is, or the PC is probably going to give me a great FPS count, you know, and probably have some really good, I don't know. I have no idea. Bungie hasn't released a PC game in ever. They have, but it's been a very, very long time.
I think Marathon Durandal.
Right. The last Bungie game that got released on PC was Halo.
Oh, yeah.
But Halo. That was Gearbox that worked on that, so it wasn't really Bungie.
They had not a Viking game, but a... Oh, man. I'm trying to remember what it was.
I don't know. Part of me wants to see how great it'll look on PC, but I just know that
the community might not be
the
there.
Community. I think is just going to last
especially
on the consoles.
Since, you know, with the console, the Xbox and the PlayStation, they have the built-in community already. Whereas, you might have some PC players who played it on a console and go switch to PC, but you know they don't have that, you know, people who have already been playing it on the PC, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. It'd be interesting to have the mouse and keyboard control scheme with something like Destiny, I guess. But I just don't see the community surviving too much on that in the PC realm. And I could eat my words. You know, it could be one of these things where I stick with it on the console, and then, you know, a sale comes along down the road, and I grab it on PC for like $15. That way I can see how it looks and see how the community's thriving and see what's going on there and maybe start again there. I don't really know. I also don't know what their plan is as far as... And I hope this is something that they detail when they do a reveal on this. But when Bungie was first announced, just before the PS4 was announced, it was in a February, ever how many years ago, 3-4 years ago, they talked about their 10-year plan.
Yeah.
And we're in year 3 of Destiny's release. This will mark year 4 will be when we get Destiny 2. And they never talked about this when Destiny originally released. Obviously, as it was out and as the years went by and Destiny 2 talk came about, there was the question of, will our characters carry over? How are we going to transition? And I believe they said that nothing is carrying over.
All right.
Your stats might carry over, but your leveling and they also said the character that you've created will carry over, like the face shapes and everything else, those sort of things, the decisions.
Your appearance?
Yeah. Your appearance will carry over, but none of your abilities and everything else, none of that is going to carry over.
So it's like that cardinal sin we were talking about earlier on a bigger scale.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But this might be a much bigger reset than anything else. I don't know how, but with a PC release and then PS4 and Xbox One, PS4 Pro, Xbox One S, all those, and probably Scorpio, whatever that's going to be called, and whatever it may be next, this, too, might be the one that leads them into a consistent universe, I guess is a way to say that, maybe, where your characters will carry through the line and they won't have to do a reset like they're doing from 1 to 2 anymore. Mm-hmm. When they go from 2 to 3, hey, guess what? Everything carries over. Light levels carry over. Everything carries over, you know, rather than starting from scratch again. Because it kind of feels like that's what they're doing. Destiny 1, upon release, had a lot of problems.
Yeah.
You know, in the background with their writer, mainly. The main writer for the story had this thing planned out and then left. They had problems with the composer who did the music. There were problems there with Bungie and with these people. And
a lot of complaints about the voice acting with Dinklebot.
Dinklebot was one thing, but they couldn't bring Dinklebot back.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't bring him back for Dune. They had to redo everything with Nolan.
Yeah.
And so this is why 2 feels like we're going to wipe the slate clean, let's start over, and this will be where we go from here. This is what it feels like. 1, they learned their lessons. 2 is going to be where they implement everything that they've learned and go from there. It's obvious that they're going to learn more as they go along, but I think that we'll see this carry through the entire line.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, whatever comes out, it's all going to carry through. I'd like to think that that's going to happen. I don't know. But as far as where I'm going to play, Destiny is one of those games that you can play by yourself, but there's a lot of times you need people to play with.
It definitely helps.
The console is where those people seem to stay. So, yes, I was trying to remember his name. Marty O'Donnell was the composer on that, and Bungie did a bad one on him.
Unfortunately.
It was, yeah, really. That was hard to take, because I really thought they had a great relationship. It seems like they actually kind of did until Activision took over. Until Microsoft let go of them, but I'd have to go back and read all that again. Goodness, I just stayed up all the time talking about one game that I played, and that split up into Destiny 2 and what's coming up.
It's got its hooks in you, man.
You know how it works. I still got Breath of the Wild. Like I said, I picked up a Wii U, and I'm trying to work on modifications for that. So that opens up a whole new world of games to play. Mainly Bayonetta 2, and...
So I wonder, if you'll be able to do, like, Splatoon.
I should be able to do Splatoon. Will I be able to do Splatoon online? I don't know.
That's what I'm curious about.
I don't know. If there's a way that I can, then I probably will. I don't even know if the servers are still up for Destiny, for Splatoon, one. They probably are, but when Splatoon 2 hits, I don't know that they're gonna...
They're gonna stay up.
I don't know what they're gonna do. Nintendo kind of likes to kick everything to the curb whenever they...
Splatoon is basically a party game, though, isn't it? Or more fun as a party game online type thing.
It was a lot of fun to play when I was at E3, that one time I played it.
Okay, so fun
and
solo.
I've seen it being played by other people, and I don't necessarily know that it looks... They're having a ton of fun with it.
Okay.
And I kind of want to be like, I want to play that. I want to see. Will I have that much fun with it? I don't know. There is a single-player component to it.
Okay.
So, you know, there are boss fights and things like that, that you can do as a single player in the game. So, I mean, there's still that to mess around with if I want to. The other game that I really want to play on that outside of Bayonetta 2 is Wind Waker HD.
Yeah.
That's really...
See, I wouldn't mind, like, getting all the Zeldas just because I love Zelda.
I can get most of those on my 3DS right now. But
yeah,
I know you
Twilight
mentioned there
Princess.
Were some. Yeah. So... anyway, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Matt and RJ talk about what they want to play, and I'll shut up for a while. going into some music here. As you know, I really love the Burnout games. Anything car, chasey, and wrecky and things like that, I enjoy it. We've played music from Burnout before. However, there's another game that I've enjoyed that kind of goes under the radar, and it's been gone for a while, made by Black Rock Studios. Disney published the game. It's called Split Second.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the main theme from Split Second. We'll be back in a lot longer than that with more of In-Game Chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott along with RJ and Matt. You want to call in? You can. 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Going over the games that we played, I took much longer than I ever should have to talk about what I had played. So now we're going to hear what RJ and Matt have played. Likely in less time than it took me to talk about hardly anything that I played. This is music, by the way, from Mark of the Ninja. And if you have not played Mark of the Ninja, get on it. Fun game. Great game. Also, we mentioned Burnout Paradise before we went into the break, and Lethal Migraine brought up that the former creators of Burnout Paradise, or Burnout, made a golf game called Dangerous Golf. They did this to raise money so that they could start working on a new racing game. And the golf game is fantastic. RJ looked it up. Apparently on PlayStation Store right now is having a flash sale. And Dangerous Golf is one of those titles that is available for about, I don't know, $6 or $7 if you're a PS Plus member. Yeah, it's $5.99 right now. I don't even know if you have to be a PS Plus member on this one. I think it's just $5.99. I don't think there's any kind of extra discount being a PS Plus member on that.
Okay.
That I can tell. But yeah, that's a good price on it on PS4. if you're interested. What else is on here that might be really good? Let's see. Limbo is up there for $2. Far Cry Primal, $15 for the Digital Apex Edition.
Okay.
I really hate special edition names. Sniper Elite 3 Ultimate Edition. See, that's fine. That's $12 if you want to play that. Banner Saga is $6. Good game there. Assassin's Creed Syndicate Gold Edition. Well, I own that, so I can't tell what price it is. What price does it say it is?
$21.
$21?
On sale, yeah.
And that's a good one.
So, yeah.
That's not bad.
Original price is $70, so.
Yeah, that's a really good good deal right there for you. What else they got? Just looking through real quick to see if there's anything else that's worth mentioning. Evil Within is up there for a pretty good price. I'm just going over the PS4 games. They've also got others that are available for PS3 and everything else. The Swindle. That's a fun game, by the way. I have it on PC, but that's a fun game. The Swindle, $3.75. So take a look at it if you're interested. Let's go to the phones real quick. Talk to Chris. Hey, man.
What's going on?
Not much. Going over the games we played. What have you been playing?
Zelda at work during lunchtime and Horizon at the house.
Yeah, you take the Switch with you, right?
Yep.
I thought about bringing mine with me to the show today, but I hadn't started on playing Zelda, and I'd really kind of like to... I'd like to be a little ways into the game on my big screen TV before I start playing it on the little thing, because I know there's that whole... I know there's that whole reveal of when he walks to the top of the mountain and, you know, title screen comes up and there's like the whole land and everything else. And so I kind of want to experience that on my big screen.
Yeah, it's been a blast so far. Just, you know, doing the usual, just exploring and messing around, you know, trying to find this, things and like that, this and that. You know, it's kind of like Skyrim and everything. You get distracted doing other things. So, oh, I want to go to the top of that mountain and see if there's anything up there. And then the Horizon's about the same way, too.
Well, yeah, how far? You're a lot further in Horizon, I know, than
I'm probably, I've already got well past the area you are, but, of course, I've been gaining levels and fighting and stuff so much, I'm like, my character's like level 33 already, but...
Good Lord.
But story-wise, I'm supposed to be around 18 or 19, you know, somewhere in that area. But,
yeah.
I mean, that just shows. I mean, just doing the usual, just having fun and looking around and stuff. And you know, I've already got to that high level just from doing that.
Well, I am level 9. So yeah, there's a good idea. There's a great idea of how far into this I am. Is level 9, and it's taken me quite a while to go through. So. What else? Anything else you're playing? Anything else you're looking forward to playing coming up?
Not really. Hoping some other new games down the road for the Switch, you know, will be translated and brought over from Japan. And one of them recently I heard about was the game series, the Secret of Mana series that was in Japan, where it was called Sekin and Densetsu. But they're coming out with a collection of all three games, which was Final Fantasy Adventure on Game Boy, Secret of Mana, and the sequel to Secret of Mana, you know, which was number 3 in Japan. And they're releasing that on the Switch with all three games. And I'm hoping, Square, if you're listening to this, translate it and bring it to us.
Yep, Square is listening to this. They send me an email every week and say, great show, we heard your show, it was a good show. So,
yeah.
So your message is going to be heard loud and clear.
I'll say other people from going and buying the repros of the English fan translation that's on the internet, and like I've got one as well, Square, but I like to play official one. Don't do your fans a disservice, please.
Well, we appreciate you calling. Always good hearing from you, man.
Oh yeah, I also took down one of those thunder drop.
Whoa, where'd you go? I did not hang up on him.
Hello.
Nope, he's gone. I did not hang. I'm on camera, so you can see I did not hit the button. I did not hang up on him.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea what happened. We're supposed to have some bad weather around here pretty soon, so I don't know if we're getting it now or not. But
is Matt Mike's on?
Hmm?
Matt.
No, it's not. Okay, he was having a coughing fit over there. And I was
sorry, Adam.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
You know how it is.
Take a drink.
Where's my vodka?
Yeah.
I mean.
So I just went to the PlayStation account the PlayStation Store, and I went through and I grabbed my free games this week from PS Plus. I added 1, 2, 3. That's probably Chris again. Yeah. I'll get him back on here in a second. But I added, let's see, Lumo for both PS4 and Vita. I added Severed for the Vita, Earth Defense Force 2025 for PS3, and Under Night in Birth something for PS3. $144 value, and I'm getting it for absolutely nothing, for a completely free. I won't play hardly any of those games, but still, it's amazing savings.
Yeah.
By Grabthar's hammer.
Wow. What a save.
Not as good, not as good as your Steam sale, though, huh?
I was like, I'm so glad I was right there when, like, when you said that. Yeah, yeah. All I could think of is, like, Alan Rickman. Like,
yep.
Oh, man.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, me.
Yeah. That's what I figured. I did not hang up on you, dude.
No, it was the power flashed on the wireless phone, and it wasn't your fault.
Yeah, no, I was letting everybody know I did not hang up on you. You got bad weather over there?
It's coming in, but yeah, I was in the process of turning everything off as I was talking to y'all. So,
all right,
I'll finish up the process and plan on going seeing that new Life movie this afternoon too.
Oh yeah,
good.
I you know, I'm interested in seeing that.
Feel free to call us next week. Tell us how you enjoyed it.
And then next week's Ghost in the Shell.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, I want to have to see Ghost in the Shell as well, even though that an Asian actor is not playing the major. But oh well, I still got to go see it.
Yeah, the Mondo, who I'm a big supporter of in both their vinyl releases and their Steelbook releases.
Yes.
Their newest release in Steelbooks was Ghost in the Shell.
Ooh.
It was a U.S. release, which is not necessarily rare, but they seem to have this cycle of the next one will likely be a Canada exclusive or a Germany exclusive or something like that. So they kind of... They go
spread around.
They do, and this is a Best Buy exclusive in the States, and it's
we
a steel
just
book
so happen to have Best Buys.
I know, it's great. Loved. It's a beautiful steel book too.
You picked it up already?
Oh God, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I ordered that thing as soon as it went available because I don't know how easy it. They number these. Mondo numbers theirs.
Okay.
Which feeds into my addiction to collect because now there's a numbered thing on the spine, and so when I have them lined up,
and you pick the lowest number, you're like,
I can
that
go,
one.
No. They don't. No.
It's not like. Oh, okay, I see what you're
they're
saying.
They're numbered in release, so like their very first release was number 00.
Yeah,
and that was for the movie Drive.
Okay.
And then they've released others, and it goes 1, 2, 3, and I think they're up to number 18 now. I think 17 or 18 is how many they've released. I am missing. 2 or 3. I'm missing.
I'm ashamed of you.
I'm missing Boondock Saints.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was a German release. It was only in Germany that released, so I can find it on eBay and pick that up.
There's internet in Germany too.
I know. It's eBay is where I go to get these, and I think I'm missing Rambo First Blood.
Ooh.
Is another one that I think I'm also missing, but everything else I've got. So anyway, another sort of. Sidebar to things that we'll probably talk about next week for April Fools. But anyway, Chris, thanks for calling back, and stay safe in the storm, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Yeah, y'all have fun on April Fools. I guess y'all could just make it a wild and zany show and just...
I know what we're going to do.
Around.
Probably just do a normal show.
Probably be a normal show.
Wild and zany.
Yeah, completely the 180 degrees, you know, talk about old games and saying this game's awful when it's really the best one out there in the world.
We'll talk
like
politics.
Oh, God, no.
We'll do that.
No.
We'll talk politics.
All right, y'all have a good one.
All right, man, take care.
Bye.
Let's go to RJ. What have you played, man?
We had a little session of Street Fighter V with a friend of mine in Dallas who was trying to get into the game, and we got together and sparred a few rounds. Had a little good time with him. I need to do that more often and get some more folks involved, get about eight folks in that room and start playing each other. Be good practice for us before we go out to tournaments and whatnot.
Yeah.
Outside of that, played a little bit more of Disc Jam.
That was one of the free ones.
Yep. Still had fun playing that. Still working up getting points to unlock titles and outfits and equipment for the players in the game as well. Got $1,000 a pop. You got to play about...
Good Lord.
$1,000 points a pop. You got to play about 3 to 5 games before you get that much together to pull the prize lever and get something out of there. So it's going to be a little while.
Yeah.
But it's fun while I'm doing it, so I'm going to keep doing that. But for the most part, I was playing, for some reason, I was playing a lot of Warframe. That game's been, around for about four years now,
mm-hmm.
and I think I've played a grand total of maybe 12 hours.
I want to say it was IM8Bit that did a release on the vinyl of that soundtrack.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw the nice look of the nice little collectibles they put out there. But yeah, I think it's been out 4 years. I've had it 4 years because it was free on the PlayStation. But I'm gonna play a total of like 12 hours in there. I mean, I've just gotten off of Earth, and they're like 14 different planets and celestial bodies I got to get onto to finish the rest of the game. So that's what I've been doing this week.
All right. And I guess next week, what's coming up for you?
Next week is going to be, this Tuesday is going to be MLB The Show 17. I'll be playing that.
You're picking that up?
You're going to pick that up.
Okay.
As well as Dark Souls 3, the DLC, The Ringed City, is going to be out as well. I've already downloaded the update from the network, so it's already sitting there ready for it to go.
I thought about you this week because there was a release of, and I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but Out of the Park Baseball?
No, I haven't heard of that.
Okay, give it a Google if you want to, and see if that might be something that appeals to you.
Sounds like some arcade style.
It's not. It's a simulator type thing. Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, they've got. You can be a manager of a team, and they're all licensed teams.
Okay.
They're all completely licensed, but let's say you wanted to go back into the early 1900s and be the manager of any one of the teams back then.
Mm-hmm.
It plays out exactly from all the history that they have. It plays out exactly the way it played that they've got records of.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can be a manager of that team and you can change the way that plays out, but they've got all the players who were on that team at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They've got farm leagues, major league. It's a massive simulation thing.
So, Lethal Migraine saying it's PC only,
it is.
And you're the general manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You control everything.
Yeah, it is PC only, but I've heard it being just an amazing...
So it's like Soccer Manager.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
For baseball fans, it's something really, really amazing. So,
yeah.
I didn't know if you'd ever heard of it, but I saw that it was released last week, and I was curious if you would be aware. So.
It says text-based baseball simulator for career historical and fictional play. Okay.
The play-by-play is text-based.
Yeah.
So whenever, you know, players go around, or whenever a game gets simulated, you get the updates through text like that. And then there is like a 3D visual type thing. I don't know. I haven't. Might be something to look up on Twitch to see if anybody's streaming it, or maybe some videos on YouTube to see kind of how it plays out.
All right.
But for whatever reason, that level of management is just fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. And the history that is involved with it as well.
Yeah.
Amazingly fascinating to me.
Seems like the history would be the best best aspect of
the
game, really.
Exactly. Matt, what have you been playing?
So I did a little streaming today of Hitman before the show. Unfortunately, it seemed like there's a little bit of a glitch in the stream. As I think Lethal Migraine pointed out, it froze. I think I had like a network issue and it affected the stream. But I tried a escalation mission in Hitman.
What is an escalation mission?
Escalation mission is you start off with one target and a set of parameters. Like the one I was doing was Sapienza, mm-hmm. and I had this one guy I had to kill, and the parameters were you have to be in your suit. And it has to be an accident. That's it. So, all right. So you go in there. You try and find the guy. And, like, he was, like, sleeping on a bench. And have you played the Sapienza level yet?
I've only played... I played the first level. Not just the tutorial, but whatever the first level was.
Paris.
Yeah. And then I played the...
Sapienza is the second one.
Maybe I haven't played. I played the one where you'd go through the fashion designer guy.
That's Paris. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've just played Paris then.
Okay.
So maybe I
played... Sapienza is the next level.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the characters in there that, because like for the escalation stuff, it takes, already NPCs that's in the game
mm-hmm.
and everything. And he's one of the ones that meets up with your target in the main mission. And but, he's like asleep on a bench, right?
Right.
But next to him was a little like scooter, like a little Vespa and everything. So I'm like, all right, maybe I could sabotage the Vespa and have that explode. That'd be considered the accident kill. Mm-hmm. So I'm running around trying to find the wrench because you have to have a wrench to to sabotage the Vespa. And like, I finally found one. I'm like, oh, after just trying to remember where the wrench was. So I'll go in there and I do that, and I just blow them up, and oh, yay. So it wasn't, you know, stealthy. It was like just straight up just explosion. Everyone looks at me, and I'm just running.
Well, nothing stealthy about an accident. Yeah.
So, So I did that. I'm like, all right. So then the next mission, the escalation, it adds to it. So now you have two targets.
Oh, okay.
That have to be, you know, accidents.
It's kind of like a weird version of Horde mode.
In a way, yeah. Then like then once you beat that one, it's three, you know, like escalate. You have two targets plus you can't knock out or kill any
every
civilians.
Time, every time you complete it, there's another stipulation added.
Yes.
Be it another target or be it a way that a target has to be taken out.
Yeah. Right.
Now you say escalation is like a, you got like a time limit or something? It's like in the same area or it's just a... Oh,
It's the map that you're in.
Okay.
And so like, you know, the first one's this one guy. Mm-hmm. The second one is this guy and this guy.
Mm-hmm.
The third escalation was this guy. You can't harm any of the civilians. Okay. Or knock him out. Right. The fourth one is this guy, and another guy. You still can't harm civilian, you know, stuff like, you know. So you still have to go after the first guy that you know he's always there. Then they just add to it.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time I got to the second one, it was not. Oh man, I was not sexy or stealthy or anything. It was just so bad. So I'm like trying to wait for, you know, like I'd messed up their path. You know, that you know they have the little path that they go around and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just tired of waiting. So I had one of the Vespas, you know, because that's a good way of, you know, doing the accident. Mm-hmm. I had it broken and everything. He just so happened to be about to walk right past it. So I just threw my wrench right at his head, knocked him out, and then shot the, you know, the oil on the ground, and it blew up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just running away from this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just basically... they all devolved into that one where like towards the end, I'm just like, just, you know what? I'm not going to be stealthy and people are shooting at me. I'm just going to do this and leave.
So what was the stipulations for the ones where it just went, got chaotic? What were all the stipulations you had to go through?
The stipulation, like it had to be an accident.
Okay.
So I just couldn't walk up to him and shoot him.
Okay.
You know, and like the different escalation missions, because there's like several within the map, and they'll have different things. So like if I do another tier of the escalation, it'll be different targets with different, you know, it might be, it has to be done in this outfit, or
I know it's piles together.
You have to be in your suit for one guy. The other guy, it didn't matter. You could be in any disguise.
Okay.
So you have to be in your suit. It has to be an accident. Eventually got to be where you can't harm civilians. Mm-hmm. They have the wild card where items and everything are misplaced.
Okay.
So just because, you know, you had something over here that you could use, it might be elsewhere.
Oh. Like, why is the wrench in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay.
Or like the vehicles were moved around.
Mm-hmm.
Then the final one was... like another target, and then people, like the civilians, will be able to look through your disguise even if you're in your suit. So more civilians were able to spot you.
Okay.
So just, you know, they just ramped it up and everything. So when I do another one, it'll be, you know, wholly different things. It, you know, might have to be in a certain outfit or with a certain weapon, like, you know, shoot this person or stab this person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of fun. It just adds up, you know, a little bit to it. And once you beat 10 of them, I think either 5 or 10, you get like a new weapon. So I'm all about collecting the weapons.
Okay.
And what else? Anything else you've been playing?
Mario Kart on my 3DS.
Oh.
Been doing that.
Yeah.
I was,
testing friendships with that?
No, by myself.
Okay.
At work, I had to basically escort some people around and just watch them while they some contractors.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets kind of boring just staring at contractors. So, you know.
3DS.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Not saying that I, you know, do that at work, you know.
No, of course not.
No, I work hard.
No. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll do our last segment of the show. Going into... a game that the music from this one, I can't remember what brought me to find this. Sometimes, you know, when I'm trying to think of a game to find for music, I'll go to my Steam library because I have plenty of games there to choose from.
Yes.
And
triple digits, isn't it?
Huh?
We got triple digits.
Oh, it's massive. It's close, if not over triple digits. But oh no, it is triple digits.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about four digits.
It's, okay, almost 1,000 now. Okay.
It's close, if not already there.
Thank you, Steam Sale.
Exactly. So and Humble Bundle as well.
Yes. Oh yeah,
will do a lot to add to that list.
But 40 games per 30-40 games.
It's a lot usually. Anyways, for some reason this caught my eye. I was like, I haven't used music from this, and I often forget about this game, which is really something I shouldn't. It's a fantastic game, but it's one of these that I always forget to bring up anytime somebody talks to me about games that can move you and can be emotional. Usually, my jump is straight to something like Shadow of the Colossus.
Mm-hmm.
Or Walking Dead.
Recently, Firewatch.
Season 1. Firewatch doesn't ever come into the equation because it is new.
Yeah.
And so I don't, that doesn't really come into it. But this is one that I always forget about, that immediately when I show the trailer to somebody, and especially that trailer, they either want to know how it was, they automatically want to know more about what they just saw, whether it's going to make them feel emotional or not. And so when I found this, I was like, I have to use this, and I also have to place it where it'll play so I can talk into it and talk about it. So we're going to come back with more of in-game chat, but we're going to go out here with music. It's the main theme, actually, from Valiant Hearts, which was a Ubisoft game. Fantastic. If you've not played it, please, God, do so.
It's the World War One, right?
World War One, yes.
Yes, that was amazing.
We'll be right back with more in-game chat after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Matt. Last segment here for this for the show, actually. Give us a call if you want to get in. 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. You know, I look up music. I skip around into it, trying to listen to parts of it to see if it's got a good build or see what, you know, see how it sounds, which is what I did for this one. I thought, good enough. I'll use it. Now that I get to hear it, I was like, oh, this is really good. I like this. This is music from Mass Effect Andromeda.
All right.
And kind of makes me want to hear more of that. So I'm very curious about it. I'll just grab this here.
Okay.
You're on in-game chat. Who's this?
Hey, this is Crowdad.
Hey, Crowdad. Hey. How's it going?
All right. How y'all?
We're doing all right. You live here in Montgomery, right?
I do,
Is it raining in your area yet? We're in a room that doesn't have any windows to the outside.
Let me look outside, and I'll tell you, I have down here my double steel line hermetically sealed.
Oh, you're in the, gotcha.
I'm in the bunker.
You're in the bunker. Yeah.
Let's put it this way. I will give voice to the clouds above.
Okay.
It's trying.
They're about to break?
It hadn't quite got there yet. Kind of dead calm when the wind picks up a little bit. The clouds are hardly even moving. It's just sitting there. Just a little bit of wind, not much to it.
I live in Prattville, obviously, and so I loaded my computer into the car, and everything was fine. And I said, okay, I'm forgetting my, I'm forgetting a couple of things, and one of those things was my tarp. The raincoat that I put on the computer when I know it's going to rain. And so I went back in to get the two things I needed. I got the one, which was not the tarp. It was something else. And then completely forgot to grab the tarp. So I'm a little bit nervous about leaving the station.
I got your solution. Before you leave the building.
There's some trash bag liners that I may put
That's
together.
Right.
See, I'm hoping it does rain just so it can wash the pollen off my car.
No. Yeah. I want it to rain. I just want to get my computer back inside the car before it does.
Yeah.
This is the same thing every year. Where I live, there's a whole bunch of hedges that put out this stuff. And for the life of me, I don't know what it is. I might should talk to Randy Burkhalter, but the stuff smells like a brand new plastic shower curtain from Kmart.
Oh.
And it's sickeningly sweet. It's the smell of it alone will knock you down. But then the pollen is, it's that lime, greeny, yellow stuff.
It's really nasty.
Even my dogs don't like it.
Yeah.
I have a dog that starts. Anyway, listen, I turned on the radio.
Yeah.
And I hear your show there.
Yep.
And some very nice
We apologize.
Now, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Are most of these games produced overseas as far as the graphics and such like with Asian marketplace and Asian designers?
I don't think so. Well, it depends on where the studio's located, but
yeah, maybe Canada.
Not necessarily all Asian though. Your Japanese RPGs will usually come from Asian studios, but
like Sony, they'll have their stuff.
Well, they've got Sony in Japan,
and then also Sony America.
They've got Sony Santa Monica.
Okay.
Which is, there's studios in Santa Monica, there's studios in Seattle, there's studios in the Czech Republic, there's studios in the Ukraine.
Wow.
There's studios in Germany, there's studios in Ireland. They're kind of spread all over. So, Mass Effect is done by BioWare. They've got a studio, I believe, a couple. They've got one in Texas, and I think they've got one in California or Seattle, somewhere in the Pacific Northwest over there, and maybe another one in Boston or something on the East Coast as well that I could be. And I think Montreal. I think they've got one in Canada.
So the sound production, the musicians, when you hear something you like, let's see, like I used to watch, a lot of movies, and I'd go, wow, I like the soundtrack. I want to find out who it is. And I'd look it up, and it'd be like Thomas Newman or somebody.
Yeah.
And then I'd go out and I'd buy the CD just because I liked all the music that went with it. All the way back to Blade Runner when it was Vangelis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Things like that. And then I hear some of these games. And when the games first came out, they had, the kind of the little digitized. It sounded like, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, but that was the technology of the time.
Man, now we're getting into some serious orchestral stuff with a lot of thought behind it and a lot of quality and depth.
Halo series has been lauded, a lot, from the very first one for their orchestral music. A lot of games have just full-on orchestras.
Yeah.
Even the new Zelda, you think back to the original Zelda, it was, that 8-bit sort of, sound. you know, like the chirps. But like the new one has like a full orchestra,
yeah,
you know, playing the Zelda theme.
And now it's at the point where you have full-fledged concerts.
Yeah, video games music, live, yeah, and everything. Yeah,
of all this type of orchestral,
you know, they'll do. Music. Yeah. Yeah. These amazing orchestral suites.
Did you go with us to Birmingham for that?
I did not. You guys did not invite me to that.
Did we not invite you, or you just couldn't go?
No, you didn't invite me.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I never got an invite.
I never get invited anywhere.
Me neither.
Were you on the show at that time?
I think I was.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Because that was years ago.
I know.
When the Video Games Live came to Birmingham, they have not come back since that one time that they came to Birmingham. They've gone to Huntsville. They've been to Atlanta, but they have not come back to Birmingham.
I'm just going to go with my persecution complex that you guys didn't invite me.
Go ahead. I don't know.
I may have been
it
out of country.
It sounds like that's
I don't
something
know.
We would do.
But... Yeah, I know. I see this guy enough. I don't want to spend time with him on the
I honestly don't
concert.
Think that was the case, though, because, I mean, we got Jeremy out here
yeah,
for it. So.
I may have been away. I can't remember.
It may have been one of those times you were stationed elsewhere. So, yeah I completely understand that. So,
what's your feeling on the thing that you put on your head and it gives you the
VR?
Yes, what the VR virtual is.
It was. I borrowed Scott's, and
it's wonderful.
It was amazing. I was skeptical at first, but when I put on the Star Wars, I was just blown away. When I put on the Resident Evil, I nearly.
Yeah,
poop myself.
Yeah,
scary stuff. It was so scary. It immerses you in ways that I didn't think was possible.
VR is fantastic.
It was amazing.
I shout it from the rooftops. I love VR in all aspects.
Very, very easily amused if they just had something simple like you put it on your head, and then the next thing you know, you're sitting up there in the pod on the Millennium Falcon with the guns and all the X-Wing fighters buzzing around. If it was just that simple, I could spend a lot of time on that.
No reason they can't.
I mean, the X-Wing mission in Battlefront was, you know, you're in an X-Wing.
You're in an X-Wing.
You're in the cockpit.
I would love that.
It was amazing because, like, you know, I'm the big Star Wars fan, so, like, I'm actually knowing, like, the layout of, you know, I kind of knew, like, what buttons beforehand. So I'm like, let's try, you know, click this, and, like, the targeting computer comes out. And, it feels like you're in the cockpit.
That would be really neat.
It was so much fun. I mean, could you imagine, like, burnout in VR?
VR is amazing. I read somewhere that some places here in Montgomery, I think at the Alley Station, are doing some VR. There's going to be a building, somebody's buying some space down there, and they're going to put in, like, a VR cafe thing or something.
If they could do VR Mech Warrior, I would be the happiest person.
But I read that, and I haven't finished reading. I didn't really read the article other than reading the headline. So something like that may come to Montgomery to where more people can experience VR. It is fantastic, though. If you do get a chance to experience it, please do.
I don't think we're ready for VR burnout, though, man.
You know, once we get into that and the technology keeps progressing, imagine what you could extrapolate VR over into learning.
Oh, no, totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Completely. Google Maps is on VR at the moment.
Oh, wow.
And that's an amazing experience to move across the globe and then zoom in on, like, the Eiffel Tower or...
Could you imagine, like, a VR tour down to Titanic?
Yeah, exactly.
How to take somebody who's working on an assembly line and set them down first and say, okay, this is a VR of the process that you will be working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, totally.
Here's 360 degrees around this, you know, process.
One of the demos for the Vive that Valve put out was, I mean, it's got, there's probably like 12, 15 demos on the whole program.
Was that the Portal one?
Portal's part of it.
Yeah.
One of the other demos is the human body.
Okay.
And so you have basically the tendons, and then it goes into the bone structure, then it goes into the organs. And,
like an old A&P book with the clear layovers.
Yeah, exactly. And you can bisect any part of it that you want. And then look into it and go deeper into.
So I was thinking, like, imagine like a VR Fantastic Voyage.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, they also have a solar system that you can look at as well.
You guys ever, any of you ever worked with CAD, computer-aided drafting?
I haven't. I know about it, but I haven't.
I have a little bit back in the day.
Yeah. Because that was sort of a rudimentary VR where you could map out the building or the home that you were going to build or whatever that you were building.
Appliances and things. You just keep going down further and further and further into the schematic in 360 rotation.
But that's the other thing. I know that there's really the Gear VR that you can put your phone into, which is like the it's still good VR, but it's the lowest tier of VR that you can kind of experience, but it's still good.
Google this if you wear prescription glasses and such.
I wear prescription glasses, and I tried it with and without the glasses, and I had to have my glasses on.
Yeah.
Because without the glasses, I couldn't even see.
Right.
But with it, I didn't even notice. I mean,
so it was accommodating in that it has.
It didn't bother me at all. I have kind of chunky glasses, so they weren't affected at all.
So the PlayStation VR, you had enough room in there.
Oh yeah, completely.
It was, so the headset was still comfortable with your glasses on.
Completely
in there. Yeah. So yeah, good.
The worst thing was like you know, like on top of your hats, that little like button.
Yeah.
Yeah. The little headset was kind of on resting on that, and it was so the button was pushing down.
You were wearing a hat while you were playing it?
I think, yeah.
Okay.
I think it was.
All right.
Normally you don't do that.
No. Well, take your hat off.
You see, what we need to do is we need to get Dennis Rodman up to speed on all the cool VR stuff.
No.
Pack him up with a free box full of the stuff. Let him go to North Korea and introduce Kim Jong-un to the wonders of VR, and he'll be so busy he won't bother with us for a while.
You can virtually point at things.
Virtual basketball with Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un.
Everything would be great for him, though. Everything would have to be programmed so that whatever he does everything right.
Yeah.
Hey, they could do
automatic
that.
Win situation.
Yeah. Well, Crawdad, we appreciate you calling in, man.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Hey, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
Yeah, is this Jay?
Yeah.
This is.
Oh, yeah, Jay, this is Dave, your neighborhood truck driver.
Oh, hey.
I'd give you a public service announcement.
We had a call earlier that southbound 65 before the Huntington College exit, there was a bad accident there.
Oh, no.
Yep, correct. That's all I was calling for.
Yeah, we had a call while we were talking to Crawdad there. I took a call for that, and I was going to get right to that after we got off the phone with him. So southbound I-65 just before the Huntington College exit, there is apparently a very bad accident that's got it backed up for a good bit there.
Oh, we got a jam there. We got a jam.
Yeah,
there, huh?
So, all right. Well, thanks, Dave.
All right. Thank you, Jay.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Yeah, for anybody listening who's out of town, this is a radio station, so we still have to serve the public interest, and telling you about where accidents are on the road is part of doing that.
I had an accident there.
Which we have no problem doing, by the way. If you do see accidents or anything, please call us, because we're one of the only, places that we can get the word out to other people going on. So please do call in with anything like that. Mm-hmm. Real quick, before we go, we are sort of running out of time here. I read where Nintendo were very disappointed by the revenue they got from Super Mario Run, which I don't...
Very disappointed? Like,
I have no sympathy for them.
I'm guessing because most people just don't want to spend $10
for
Mario Run.
Yeah.
Hmm. If they dropped it down to $1, I bet they wouldn't have,
I had no problem not paying for that. There was no...
Yeah.
There was no urge to be there. I never sat there thinking, boy, I wish I could afford that. I can afford a $10 app. I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Did anybody tell them that 10 bucks was too much for an app for a phone?
But it's Mario.
You'd think Nintendo would have done some research on this. Now, they did release another title, which was Fire Emblem Heroes, which is a free-to-play style, but also has monetary stuff within it. It's doing fantastic.
Oh,
That free thing has something to do with that.
Despite the relative performance of the two games, especially given the relative popularity of their brands, Nintendo isn't fully embracing the free-to-play model. A senior company official said that Fire Emblem Heroes is an outlier. We honestly prefer the Super Mario Run model.
Yeah.
Next up on Nintendo's mobile slate is an Animal Crossing game. The game will be free to start, but it is unclear exactly what form the monetization will take.
They already have Animal Crossing Mobile. It's on the 3DS. With Mario.
They've got
and
Mario
Fire Emblem.
And Fire Emblem Heroes, but there's something about it being on the phone that makes things... we were talking about VR, and Fallout 4 VR is confirmed to be at E3 this year. A 2017 launch was promised at last year's conference. It is confirmed for E3 2017. Likely be one of the things that Bethesda shows off at its E3 presentation.
Deathclaws up close in 3D.
So that'll be interesting to see.
Joy.
how that plays out. Will it be on PlayStation VR? Will it be on all forms of VR? I have no idea. Will it be on the Vive and the Oculus Rift? I don't know. But I'm sure we're going to find out at E3. And lastly here, Nintendo having Joy-Con issues.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, the left Joy-Con has had problems. And
just the left one.
Just the left one. Hmm. And I haven't had any problems with it because, number one, I'm not playing it. And number two, I don't like the Joy-Cons. I'm not going to use the Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
They're fixing it with a piece of foam.
The left Joy-Con.
Nintendo mostly remains switching.
What is it doing?
It has a solution for those effects. No, it's not avoidance of aquariums or all other wireless devices. It apparently is as simple as a foam sticker placed in the right spot. Early reviews and later actual retail units of the Switch highlight an apparent hardware flaw of the left Joy-Con controller. Certain scenarios, played with some distance from the console using the grip, some left Joy-Cons could lose sync and not be able to connect to the Switch itself. While a day one console update fixed the issue for some, it has remained for others. A Joy-Con sent in for repair by CNET was returned with one small enhancement a week later, and lo and behold, it works. The enhancement, a small piece of conductive foam. And the article shows where the foam was placed, and that is it. They spotted the foam. They had taken pictures of the insides before they sent the Joy-Con in, then they took it after they got it back.
I guess it wasn't having enough conductivity?
Yeah. It's likely a piece of conductive foam, which is foam that's been specially treated with nickel, copper, or both, so it can shield electronics from RF interference. Unless we're totally mistaken, this piece of foam is sitting directly on top of the Joy-Con's antenna traces, too, which suggests that it's protecting the antenna from interference. I even tried removing the foam, and sure enough, the controller stops working properly when it's not there. Seems like an open and shut case. Good job, Nintendo, on that Q&A. Way to go. So, yeah.
Hmm.
All right, well, I think that'll...
Wait.
What?
Look in the chat room.
What?
Fuller says, I paid the $10. It wasn't worth it.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't pay $10 for it, and I'm happy with what I got, which was basically one level, and that was it. I'm not doing it. If they go on sale and they drop to, like, $1.99, $2, you know, I'll pick it up. Mm-hmm. But I'm not. I'm not paying $10 for an app.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio as well. I want to remind you again, southbound 65 near the Huntington College exit, there is an accident there. It's going to back up traffic for a while. Thanks, everybody, who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We do appreciate it. Go to endgamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch. Why not subscribe? We really appreciate it. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. If you're on PS4, join our community. If you're on Xbox One, join up there. We're all over the place. Thank you, everyone. Have a great week, and we will see you next Saturday for April Fool's Day. Here is music from Sunless Sea, another fantastic game. I think Medusa's Mirror in the chat room will agree with me on that one. Sunless Sea, this is called Wolfstack Lights. We'll see you next Saturday.